Sam has decided to find. Oh, hello.
Oh. He decided what?
It says Sam has decided to find one positive thing for every movie we watch. I think I can guess what the positive thing is for this movie for you. And I think it's because you think that the house is.
But I got some negative feedback on a play. So, and one of the comments the person made was that they did not think it was fixable in some instances, which is a shitty thing to say to another artist. So yeah. I think we've done a really good job at not being completely shitty when reviewing a movie.
Yeah, I think so too. Even ones that we didn't like, we still like found entertainment value from some portion or another.
So I've decided for every movie we watch, I will force myself to find one positive aspect so I don't, because clearly all the directors we review watch are or listen to our podcast, so I'll find one positive thing so they don't hate themselves.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Because you never know if they are anyway, listening. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Anyway, welcome back to Real Horror Show. I'm your host, Samantha, and I'm joined, as always, by the Stormy Skies, fresh out of her first day of classes.
Yeah, hello, everybody.
It's going to be an academic now.
Yes, I am an academic, which means I just have all this like access to all these databases and all this research and all this cool stuff. Yeah.
We will not use for the podcast.
No, we will not. I just like the idea that I can like go on databases and stuff now.
I'm like 99% sure I still have access to all the databases at Radford. Don't know about George Washington because we never used any for George Washington, but.
Yeah, like not at all. Yeah.
Isn't that a little disappointing?
Yeah, there's only one thing that's more disappointing than that, Sam, and I think you know what I mean.
It be a room for disappointments?
Yes, exactly.
How convenient, because that just so happens to be kind of the plot of the movie we're reviewing today.
Yeah.
The Disappointments Room is a 2016 American psychological horror film directed by DJ Caruso, written by him, from a script by Wentworth Miller. What? Anyway, and starring Kate Beckinsale and Mel Rado as a couple who, in a new house that contains a hidden room with a dark haunted past. The film was inspired by an HGTV episode from a segment called If Walls Could Talk. Originally completed in 2014, the film was only released in September 9th, 2016 by Rogue, who wrote this Wikipedia article, to both critical and commercial failure, grossing only $5 million from a $15 million budget.
Jesus Christ.
It was a failure. Miller?
Wentworth?
Motherfucking Wentworth Miller wrote this movie?
Wentworth Miller, I know we're trying to be positive, but he needs to find a new job. Because
he's
not
an actor. He's the guy. He's cool. The guy from Prison Break.
Oh, what the fuck is he doing trying to do horror movies and shit? The fuck? Anyway.
When we get to story, I'll talk about it more. This movie wasn't good, y'all.
No, dude, it wasn't. Everybody that said it was a disappointment was right.
The good news is I don't think I watched it before recording this episode.
But
before I watched it, I didn't watch it before we watched it for the podcast.
Oh yeah, this is your first time like ever watching it. Okay.
Because it's possible that I watched it because I do put movies on in the background when I'm writing and working on other things. And I just blacked it out. But no, I don't remember just, like, anything about this movie.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's not very memorable anyway.
My God, it's not. Except Kate Beckinsale's blonde wig.
Yeah, she was blonde, which I was like, oh, okay, she's blonde. But was it a wig? Like, yeah, I guess it was, wasn't it?
There were some scenes, especially at the end, where it looked very wig-like.
Yeah, very wiggy. It was just the same all the time. hair.
You are an anonymous blobfish on Google Docs right now. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Kate Beckinsale, I guess we can talk about the acting and performance. So, what acting?
What acting?
Little boy was atrocious.
Oh my god, I agree. What the fuck? Where did I put that? I said the same goddamn thing. I said, fuck. I said some like shit like this kid fucking sucks. I said this kid is not like a something and it's awkward. I think I said he wasn't a good actor or something.
And like there was the scene within the first 5 minutes where they pull up to the house and he wakes up from being asleep and he doesn't wake up. He just like opens his eyes and suddenly he's wide awake and like, that kid was not fucking asleep and don't pull that shit with me.
Dude, why did I say that I didn't like him? What was he doing? Oh, I said, this is not the best child actor.
The second I saw him and the second I saw they were driving on a windy autumn road, I was like, is this going to be Kroger brand The Shining?
Yeah, pretty much.
Not even.
Why did I say that? I said it was like, it was after they got the cat randomly. And like some other
cat.
I love the cat. But then like some other stuff happened. And then I wrote down, this is not the best child actor. Yeah, I don't know.
Bad. And I feel so bad talking shit about a kid, but he was so bad.
So bad. I know. But anyway, there was nothing we could do about that fucking kid.
And I don't get the husband's accent. Like,
yeah. Did you think he had an accent? I thought that he sounded kind of strange myself.
And sounded like he was from Brooklyn, or at least pretending he was from Brooklyn. It sounded more like he was pretending. Because that was a Brooklyn accent, but it wasn't a good one.
Yes. Oh my god, yeah, he definitely did talk like that. Did I say something about that too? Oh no, this is the other kid. I noticed that, and I also noticed about the dad that he was just like his line delivery, just the conversations he has with Kate Beckinsale is just so fucking awkward.
Her, like, dialogue in this movie is so bad.
It is bad because, listen, the best example of like terrible dialogue would have to be in the car ride in the beginning, because you know how it's raining and when they're in the car and they're like, oh, it's raining, and then she's like, well, you had to stop at the farmer's market. And he was like, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, for broccoli. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, for this, blah, blah, blah. Like, people don't talk like that at all to each other. They don't, like, say one thing and the other person speaks. And then they say the next thing in their list. And then the other person keeps – it's not like a book. You know what I mean? Like,
nothing about it flowed naturally.
It was the fucking weirdest thing I've ever seen. I was like, okay. Stopped at the
point. I made most of my notes about Kate Beckinsale's character in the section, but we can talk about it here since it's acting and performance. And I'm going to start off by saying, I don't have an issue with confident women. I am a confident woman. Stormy is a confident woman. But I think in 2019 and going into 2020, we all need to agree that there's a difference between confident women and just downright bitchy women.
Yes, bitchy women, and then women who are like constantly looking like freaked out with a gaping mouth, like Kate Beckinsale was 100% in this movie.
Absolutely. Like, so many times I was like, why is she suddenly just jumping down everybody's throat? Everyone is being so pleasant and nice to her, and she's just like,
well, we can't do this.
I know, right? Like, Jesus Christ, I thought she would, like, fucking fall over when they were just like, you want some ice cream? She's like, I suppose.
And I'm drinking
tea. Can't fix the roof because I...
Huh? I'm drinking tea, so I apologize if I slurp into the microphone. I think the best example of this for me was when the contractor guy to fix the roof comes and he's like, all right, so let's talk about money. And she's like, no, we need to decide other things. You don't even have the job yet. I'm like, Kate Beckinsale, when you're hiring a contractor, you do talk about money and get a quote and compare it to other contractors in the area. That's how it works.
Yo, thank you. That is how it works. Money is out. What the fuck?
That's one of the first things you talk about before hiring him is to get a quote. And it's like, well, my dad worked construction. And it really pissed me off.
Fucking do it yourself, bitch. The fuck?
And like, it really pissed me off when he was like, it'll be 4 days, $80 an hour. She was like, no, it'll be 2 days, $60 an hour. My dad worked construction, so I know how this costs. When in the 80s? Like, here's the thing. Right? As a former freelance writer, I have my quote. Like, I don't care what Jim is charging next door. Go hire Jim if you want a cheaper price. But if my price is $80, you don't fucking tell me that it's going to be $60 in a shorter span of time.
Yes. Yeah. There's no negotiations here. Okay. Like, we don't haggle. Yeah. So you can either like talk to him about his price and then he says, this is my price. And you can either say yes or no. That's how you know you need to get him or another contractor. Like, what the fuck? And then she's like, oh no, I have to do it with you. It's like, just do it by yourself. If you like, don't want to fucking pay anybody, like, cause you seem to know what the fuck you're doing and you don't want him to do it by himself. Like, what is he, like a baby? Like, he needs his hand held. The fuck? What is happening?
Maybe I'm just so mad about Kate Beckinsale's character because, you know, they were writing her and they were like, oh, she is just such a strong, independent woman. We've nailed this character. In reality, she's just a bit jumping down everybody's throat over the tiniest thing.
And like, nobody likes her. And she's so like obnoxious that she stresses herself out. And that's why she smokes in like secret.
She gets mad. Again, this is a story point, but she gets mad at the husband for not hearing her screaming in the attic. Like, maybe you should have told your husband you were going to go dick around in the attic.
Dick around. I know, because she's so impulsive, too, because, like, if that were me and I was in the middle of, like, making some food in the oven, and then I was like, let me go upstairs and try these 55 keys in this thing, and it will take me 15 minutes to do this, like, it would make me nervous and I wouldn't do that. I would, like, finish one task. And she's like, no, I have to find out what's behind this fucking door right now. But none of these keys. Oh, the key's up here. Wow. Let me go in here. Uh-oh, I'm stuck. Like, what the fuck is happening? And then just, but then, I'm sorry, but this is a sidebar that we have to have real quick. Whenever she came back after she was, like, screaming and she was all upset, and the guy was like, what do you mean? And he was like all confused. They had this weird conversation, but it didn't answer her question when she asked, like, didn't you hear me? Because he didn't say yes and he didn't say no. But only like 5 minutes passed, but she was in there for like 2 hours, like in her head. But I'm just like, I don't know. Like, didn't he look for her? That was like, I was really just confused. I was so confused about that part. So what do you think? So, I don't know what to think.
I think that's a good segue to get into like the story section. Just
I'm confused.
What story?
I don't really know what the point of all this was.
Granted, I was watching this at work, so I was, you know, actually working and stuff. But what story? I don't understand how anything is connected in this movie. The big plot twist at the end, or big plot reveal, was that she accidentally smothered her baby while taking a nap, but that's not revealed until the last 5 minutes, and it's like, oh, only it's not an O because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, and I kind of like, that didn't make any sense as to what was happening inside the house. like it would have made more sense if she smothered her baby on purpose because it was ugly. You know what I mean? Even something like that would actually tie in.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know.
The whole story of the house didn't make sense because they never really delved into it other than like three lines.
Yeah.
You only see the ghost of the dad towards the end. Does it make sense?
It doesn't make sense, and a lot of the stuff regarding the disappointments room like didn't make sense because whenever the ghost dad killed the child because it embarrassed him, but then they talk about how the child had to stay in the disappointments room, so it like technically didn't exist. So I was like, why did you kill the child? Like, how would the child embarrass you if technically it didn't exist to, like, the outside world? Like, things just didn't add up. And I wish we would have had more history in regards to that, like, haunting. But by the time the hauntings happened, it was, like, 30 minutes left in the movie.
Exactly. You know, so I was like... I don't think I talked about it on the podcast. But you know what movie did this similar plot a million times better?
Yeah.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, actually, because the overarching plot that connected the stories together was that the stories were written by a girl who was born with albinism in like the 1800s. So her parents locked her away in the basement. And so she wrote all the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark and taught herself black magic or something, and that caused the stories to come to life, and it's how she killed her family. So I didn't realize that she would have technically been in a disappointments room. What a dumb name for a room. But very similar plot with whatever they were trying to do with the backstory of the house, only done so much better because they actually, you know, gave the family character.
Yes, and that sounds like way scarier and way cooler. And this one just, it was just like an, oh, by the way, there's the family that was here and the ghosts are still around. And like, it was just, I can't even explain it because it just, it was barely there anyway. So it's so hard to talk about there being a haunting. It was just Kate Beckinsale just like fucking having freakouts all the time. And then, like, they discussed how she's, like, mentally ill because she accidentally smothered the baby because they were in bed together, which is a no-no. And then she's on all this stuff and seeing a psychiatrist, and they're making it seem like she's crazy. But then, like, there are the ghosts that are making her crazy. But when she's seeing all this bad stuff happen, she's so mega chill about it. Like, no screaming, no gasping, just, like, that stupid open gape mouth that we see the whole fucking movie. Oh, I hate it. Some expression would be nice.
I do think there is, like, a crumbling of what could have been a really interesting horror movie in this if they actually focused on the grieving mother aspect. You could have...
Yeah.
Done kind of a Babadook thing with it, only instead of the husband being dead and the mother blaming the child, the mother accidentally killed the baby and she's dealing with all this inner conflict. But we don't get that, and that's the most interesting like plot thread you could have in this movie, and just kind of have the hauntings be in the background and have it be a question, well, is the house haunted or is it all in her head?
Yeah, and I think that's what they like wanted to go for, but it just didn't work out. And they gave her that really interesting like plot thread, like you said, with like the accidentally killing her baby, and they just like they saved that for last, and so we didn't even use that to develop her character at all, and that's why she was just like a bitch the whole time.
That's not like a little thing to leave out, like, oh, she dyes her hair blonde every night. That's like a huge character arc that you're just leaving for a last minute plot twist. No, that should be like a central focus of her character the entire time and not hidden from the audience.
Yes, exactly. But they just, it was backwards.
I've been watching a lot of YouTube horror commentators, just like their video essays about different horror movies. And Ryan Hollinger is probably my favorite right now. And he talks about how horror needs to be more than just jump scares to be truly memorable. Horror needs to actually evoke emotions. And had they actually followed through with the she killed her baby plot line, that would have invoked a lot of emotions for a lot of different people, I feel. It's just they opted for these jump scares that never really delivered.
The jump scares never delivered, and all the spooky stuff wasn't that spooky, and it was just actually laughable. And I think like the best example of that would have to be the dog attack.
Oh my god, the fucking dog attack.
I was like, what the fuck?
This movie would have been a lot more interesting. I finally watched Perfect Blue, which is an animated psychological horror thriller. So I think it would have been much better had like the big plot twist at the end instead of, oh, she accidentally smothered her baby and that's why she's crazy. If the plot thread would have been, we know from the beginning she smothered her baby and she's dealing with that. And then all these hauntings are going on. She keeps seeing ghosts. If it's revealed that all of it was in her head and that she was actually killing people and like, I know, but the dog scene was so fucking stupid.
Right? Oh God, it was so stupid.
You don't want your six-year-old son to be devoured by wild dogs. Don't let him play in the woods by himself. Problem solved.
I know. And then like also don't wear fucking heels around the house so it takes you longer to run around like a fucking little bitch. Like, oh, can't slip on the floor with my high-heel booties that I wear around the house. Like
a normal person. Who wears heels?
Who wears shoes in the house? Let alone, like, boots, like, with heels. Seriously.
Weird. I think that's been my biggest, like, issue with Fuller House, completely on the different spectrum of entertainment, is that they're always wearing, like, 6-inch heels in the house. I'm like, fuck. Who does that?
Nobody should be doing that at all.
Shoes are the first thing I take off. Shoes are the... Yes. Especially in San Francisco.
Yeah, what the fuck? You're going to walk up and down the fucking street with, like, really high heels? That sounds great and comfortable, huh? No. The fuck?
Let's see.
Oh, can we talk about, like, the awkward at, like, can we talk about how random the contractor guy is, though? I thought he was going to have some sort of big plot, like, big purpose, but he's just, like, kind of there.
I will point out, though, that he played Miley Cyrus's boyfriend in Hannah Montana, the movie.
Oh, really?
that's what this note means.
I see. I noticed that myself.
I was waiting for them to fuck, but I guess that would have been too interesting and dramatic.
They try to make him out like to be like the super hot buff contractor, but he like wasn't even that hot. He was just kind of weird looking.
He's 12 years old.
I know, but then I was like, is he supposed to be like a bad guy? Is he a ghost? You know, is he like a disappointment?
I would have loved if
he's a nobody.
He was the one kill they had in the movie. Other than,
but he didn't even die though. Like that was all in Kate Beckinsale's head.
Oh, what the
fuck?
Because that's what I said.
I was like, what? She's so chill when she sees like a dead body because his body was the one that was hanging from the tree. But then later, like after she kills the ghost, like he's fine and his body's not in the tree anymore. So I'm going to assume that he was never even there to begin with to look in the fucking buried casket. The fuck? Oh my god. But when she saw his like hanging body, she was like,
uh-oh. That's why it would have been so much more interesting if the plot twist was that she was killing people who entered the house.
That's what I thought they were going for too, because then she was killing the thing and I was like, dude, did she kill the baby on purpose and now she's trying to kill the other kid? But not really. The fuck? No.
None of the kills were real. Nothing in this movie was real. What? This was a first draft. of a story that could have been really good.
Yes.
But they just wanted to film the movie immediately and then have it shelved for 2 years. Maybe it wouldn't have been shelved for 2 years if you hadn't rushed the production.
Yes. This was not the best. Wait, can we talk about something else that cracked me the fuck up? Remember when they had that, like, at the end, they had, like, the friends over for, like, dinner, and then Kate Beckinsale, like, she was, like, getting ready, and she was putting her lipstick on, and then, like, they left, and they're like, so where is she? And then they left, and I was like, did she ever even, like, come down? Like, the time jumps were so weird. Was she just upstairs putting her lipstick on the whole time, or, like, what?
What the hell was the editing of this movie? There were so many weird cuts.
They must have forgotten to put some scenes in or something.
Forgotten that they need to have a plot for a successful movie.
Yeah, they forgot. And that was just not the best.
I'm going to go with the year this was filmed, because that's what its comps would have been. It got shelved for 2 years, so it was filmed in 2014. So let's see. Sorry, Dave just scared the shit out of me.
That's okay.
He's trying to get into the WoW Classic servers.
Nice.
That launched today. Okay, so 2014. Here are the horror movies that came out in 2014 that would have had some influence on the production of this movie. The Babadook.
Nice.
Deliver Us from Evil. As Above, So Below. It Follows. Creep. Housebound. A girl Walks Home Alone. Good Night, Mommy. I think those are the best ones.
Damn, 2014 had some, like, heavy hitters.
Yeah, and A Honeymoon came out that year.
Okay.
Zombievers. Mm-hmm. So, in my opinion, this movie has no excuse to be shitty if they saw that these were the movies coming out in 2014, and then they didn't even release it for 2 years.
Yeah. Because they were probably really confident, because they even had Kate Beckinsale, and she's like a huge name actress. What is she doing in this movie with, like, a bunch of nobodies, like, with shitty lines? It's just, I don't know what they were thinking, but, like, something just went wrong, and they didn't fix it, and now we're just watching it, and it's a disappointment.
Yeah. 2016 horror movies. We got nothing super exciting. I like 10 Cloverfield Lane. Don't Breathe, The Conjuring 2.
Mm-hmm.
The Autopsy of Jane Doe. The Girl with the Gifts. The mm-hmm. Neon Demon. So horror movies that people are still talking about today. Raw came out in 2016.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, this movie had no business being bad when so many good things that people are still praising today came out.
Yes, exactly. Oh, God. What a mess.
So, production, which is where I have my only really positive note.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the setting was gorgeous. And I
agree. That house was fantastic.
I am disappointed that this movie wasted this gorgeous setting on this shitty plot. Because there was one shot at the beginning where she's in the greenhouse and it's kind of broken. There's so much greenery and it's, like, perfectly symmetrical. I thought, oh, that's a gorgeous shot. That's a gorgeous greenhouse. Everything about this just looks really nice. It's going to piss me off that they wasted this setting on such a bad movie.
Right. And there's even, like, a part whenever she's, like, upstairs in, like, the upper level of the house. And there's, like, those, like, iron gates that are there and they're just open. I was like, that's amazing. Fucking bullshit.
No. Like, this house alone, you could have just given me a 20-minute tour of the house and I would have been like, oh, this is so creepy. What's going to pop out around the corner?
Exactly. Nothing. Nothing will pop out around the corner. The only time that anything will pop out is when you, like, open the door to the room and, like, wait. Stupid. Stupid, stupid shit. And, yeah, this is a shitty wig because you're so right. Because every time she, like, does stuff, wakes up, does anything the next day, it looks the same, exactly the same. It's never messed up. And I'm just like, that's
don't even get why she's blonde. Like, Kate Beckinsale has like such gorgeous dark hair that we all know her
dark
for.
Dark hair.
So why is she blonde?
I don't know. She looks weird. I like her dark hair better because it's natural.
This movie made me really think, huh, has Kate Beckinsale ever been in like a good movie? And I like Van Helsing, but I know like critically it's considered not a good movie. And I think the critics are wrong. I think it's a stupid movie, but Click is like the only movie I can think of that I genuinely like that she's been in.
Dude, yeah, I like that movie. And then like she's also like pretty hot in the vampire movie that she's in. Not Van Helsing, the other one.
Underworld.
Yeah.
Underworld was successful enough to garner 20 sequels, but was it actually a good movie? I don't know.
Not really. Because not great. I don't know, man. Every time I watch Underworld, I'm just like, what the fuck's happening here?
Hot take. I think Pearl Harbor is a shitty movie, so don't come at me with that.
Pearl Harbor. Be sad. Cry. Hey, here's a hot take. I think that one guy in Underworld, right, is super hot. He's the one weird-looking vampire guy. Or is he a vampire?
Isn't he like half and half?
Not the hybrid Michael. No, everybody likes him. I like the weird looking guy. Underworld. Okay, here we go. IMDb. Yeah. Let's look at the cast. Ooh.
She's doing that. I'll explain why I think Pearl Harbor is a shitty movie. Pearl Harbor. Michael Sheen.
Yes. He's Lucian. I just like how he looks.
You there?
Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah, I disconnected for some reason. Anyway, she gets passed around by a hot potato, and the second she thinks Ben Affleck's dead, she starts humping his best friend, Josh Harnett. And then, surprise, Ben Affleck's alive, but then Josh Harnett really dies, and she's like, okay, I guess I'll get back together with you, Ben Affleck, and have Josh Harnett's kid.
Isn't she like an army nurse in that movie or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who am I looking for? Michael Sheen. Oh, you like Michael Sheen?
Yeah, I think he's banging as Lucian because he has long hair and he's super hot.
Wait a sec. Doesn't he play in Twilight?
It's everybody. Yeah. Super hot in Twilight. Bad guy in Twilight. Ah, yes. He's one of the bad ones. What are they fucking called? They have like the Volturi or some shit.
Yeah, the Volturi.
He's their leader. Mm-mm-mm. Yes. Now he's kind of getting older, so not that great anymore, but it's all good. He's in that sex show.
Masters of Sex. He's also in the new Amazon Prime show, Good Omens.
See that? He is the angel. The angel.
Anyway, in Pearl Harbor, there's a very minor subplot with a Navy cook who is African-American and is kind of treated like garbage. And then when the bombs drop on Pearl Harbor, he sees his commander die and he gets pissed and gets on one of the turrets and just shoots down a bunch of planes. That would have been a more interesting movie. But no, Michael Bay has to have his little sex vixen, Kate Beckinsale, because he can't make a movie that doesn't... am I trying to say? He can't make a movie where he doesn't have jerk-off material.
Aha, yes.
It's because his background is in porn and shooting Victoria's Secret commercials. Don't at me. Yeah. That's why his women in his movies are framed so kind of misogynistically.
Dude, did he do Sucker Punch then?
Oh, that was Zack Snyder.
Oh, well, okay.
Let me send you a Lindsay Ellis video about framing Megan Fox in the Transformer movies that you might find interesting.
I love Megan Fox. She's super hot.
Yeah, this hot take is kind of about how Michael Bay is the reason she was never really taken seriously in movies, because he framed her so sexually.
Sucks. I loved her. I loved her in Jennifer's Body. She's a horror queen. She could have been.
Yeah. Something interesting that I love is her character in Transformers is named after Michael Bay himself. Her name is Michaela really? Baines. Yep, Michaela Baines.
Huh.
Doesn't oh wait.
There we go. Is this the right link? The fuck is this?
That's
the link. This
back
is not
to
what
the,
I wanted.
I'm sorry.
No, Sam.
I've been having problems with copy and pasting. I keep like not actually copying anything. Back to the movie at hand. The setting was gorgeous. Everything else about this movie was not well thought out, was not well produced, was not well edited, was not well written, was not well acted. I guess you could say my rating is I'm in the disappointed room.
Yeah, I'm in the disappointed room too. That's where you sit when you're disappointed in a movie you just watched. So, don't waste your time. Or maybe you should, just so you get it.
This movie made me really reconsider whether or not Kate Beckinsale is actually, like, good and makes good movie choices.
You know, like, is she?
Maybe I just am mad at her because there's an interview where she goes, ugh, at the memory of being in Van Helsing. I'm like, bitch, that's one of the best movies you've been in. Don't even get me.
Bitch, Van Helsing is a fucking classic. She's super hot in it. And she actually has this accent that, like, she maintains throughout the whole movie. And she dies in the end. So, like, I would say that's, like, a full circle role there. And it might be her best one.
It's very disappointing we never got the Van Helsing Mummy crossover. Because they were made by the same guy. And I think he had some intentions of doing a crossover at some point.
Yeah. That would be kind of cool.
We can't have nice things.
We cannot, dude. We can't wait for it, Sam. We have to create it ourselves.
I know, but apparently I'm not a good writer, so there's nothing fixable about my writing.
Fuck that guy. I hope he's listening.
I got through rewrites. I got through most of the big rewrites for my other play, so I'll go ahead and send it to you. And you
yes,
can
thank you.
You can teach me stuff, professor.
Oh, yes. Anytime, Sam. I was waiting for you to ask me that. Cool.
In other related news, Anthony Michael Hall was cast as Tommy Doyle in Halloween Kills.
That's cool. Who dat?
I don't know, but according to our friend Tim, it's awesome casting. Which I disagree, because I thought Paul Rudd was just a great Tommy Doyle. They should have brought him back.
Wasn't he already Tommy Doyle?
Yeah, he was Tommy Doyle in Part 6, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Don't you think that this guy is a little old to be Tommy Doyle?
I think he's probably actually the right age.
Looks as old as Jamie Lee.
Jamie Lee's he's 51, so... That would be the right age. It would have been 1078. However, maybe the issue with Paul Rudd is that he is also 50 years old, but he does not look 50 years old, so it wouldn't be believable that he would have been 10 years old. And then.
Well, this guy looks like way older than 50 because he's like gray hair and stuff now. He just looks tired.
He doesn't look like in Jamie Lee's age range. Like he would have babysat her. Instead of vice versa.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that doesn't make
whatever.
Jamie Lee is only 60 years old.
Yeah, dude. So like,
sense. I forget that like how different you are at the age of 10 and 17. So fine, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Where does Paul Rudd get off being 50 years old and looking as good as he does? Same with Jared Leto. Like, what the fuck are they doing?
Freaks me out, dude.
Jared Leto is 47 years old.
What the fuck?
Is it because they're vegan?
Maybe. You know who's looking a little on the old side lately? because I keep seeing him for the Joker stuff, is Joaquin.
Oh, Joaquin.
Grandpa Joaquin, looking a little wrinkly there.
He just played Jesus in a Mary Magdalene movie.
Jesus is, like, not old because he dies, like, before he gets old. So.
Joaquin's only 44 years old. Poor guy.
Joaquin had a rough life in between there. Couple movies. Remember he went crazy after he played Johnny Cash and Walk the Line?
Yeah.
Totally fucking crazy.
Like a Robert Downey Jr. career where they went crazy for a few years and then they got one good role and suddenly everybody's like, oh, they're the best actor ever.
What about Mel Gibson? Remember when he went crazy?
Yeah. I don't think Mel Gibson deserves a redemption arc, though.
I have nothing else to say about this movie, dude, except for it fucking sucked.
Yeah. But beautiful setting. They did a good job picking location.
Yeah, they definitely did. Yeah, the house was beautiful. Too bad it was fucking wasted because Kate Beckinsale was too busy running around not feeling any feelings. So
maybe if I had a printer, since I have gold star stickers, if I had a printer, I would make like a rubric, a elementary school style rubric for these movies. And for the Instagram, just put a gold star where they earn one. They
only get yeah, that would be great.
They get one for setting.
Yeah, one for setting.
And then I would at the filmmaker and writer, show them their score.
Damn, you forgot to do the pod coin thing.
Son of a bitch. Hopefully we're at the part where...
Sorry, damn it.
Sorry, you got me triggered on Pearl Harbor. It's still technically mid-roll because we haven't gone through the end credits yet. Guess what, party people? Real Horror Show is now on PodCoin. PodCoin is the podcast player that pays. That's right. PodCoin rewards you, the listener, for listening to your favorite shows. Just get the PodCoin app on iPhone or Android. It's free and super easy to use. You can use the PodCoins you earn to claim free gift cards or donate to charity. It literally is amazing. It turns your podcast listening into charity. Or, if you like, just get some Amazon or Starbucks gift cards, you asshole. I use the PodCoin app to do all my podcast listening now, and I love it. Go get it on the App Store or on Android today. Seriously, just go to the PodCoin app and use the invite code HORRORSHOW, and you'll get 300 PodCoins just for signing up if you use our code. That's 300 PodCoins just for signing up if you use the code HORRORSHOW. So give the PodCoin app a try today.
Yeah. So how do the PodCoins transfer into real dollars? Like, how many PodCoins do I need for like $1? Like 100?
I haven't done the math.
1,000.
Let me go look at my college diploma and see what I majored in. Oh, it's not math.
Is like every pod coin like one penny?
I feel like that's it because I don't think I'll ever get gift cards because the amount of pod coins you need to get one gift card is kind of insane. But I guess they have some system where they'll convert the pod coins to like money to donate to charity. So I would rather do that anyway.
Yeah, same.
I don't think I could sleep with myself at night if I had the option between donating to the rainforest or buying a $5 Amazon gift card.
I feel like it'd be easier to just donate it anyway at that point instead of doing all that hustle and bustle with transferring it to American dollars.
Anyway, really, PodCoin is great.
Yeah, seriously. Just go get the PodCoin app.
I really do use it for my podcast listening now.
Good. That's good. Good to hear. I'm going to have to really, really do it myself, too. I keep fucking listening to our podcasts on iTunes like an asshole. Ah. All right.
As long as you listen, you're our one loyal listener.
Yes. Yes. But... I almost forgot. We can't forget to talk about the realistic aspects of this this movie.
Accidentally suffocating your baby is pretty scary.
really fucking terrible, and I can understand why she was seeing somebody, and on, but she was on like some heavy medication. I guess it was like for depression, like mood. But
and I also just, I guess I don't understand how you would roll over on your baby and not feel that you're sleeping on something very uncomfortable.
She must have been out.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, delicate. Just give me a 10-year-old and I'll be fine.
No. What else is realistic? I guess having a
being a freelance contractor and having your client tell you that you won't get as much money as you say you should and you need to do it in less time.
Yeah, they're like overworking you and underpaying you. That's not cool. So we don't like that. I guess being so fucked up that when you had a child that had like a who had a deformity, you just killed them or kept them locked in the room or both.
Yeah.
But also being so sick in the head that when the kid killed themselves, you got sad and killed yourself. Like, okay. That's fine, I guess.
Related, but today in sad stuff I see posted on the Facebook marketplace, engagement ring and wedding ring set, $700, barely worn.
Oh, God.
So sad. I don't want to break
up. You always want to know the story behind that.
It's kind of like the girl who was selling her wedding dress, never worn. Oh, God, don't say that. It makes me sad.
I know. Yeah, I remember that you told me about that.
Anyway, that's the real horror show.
It was a real horror show, and I just have nothing more to say about the disappointments room.
Did you sell your wedding dress?
Sell it? No.
Yeah.
Probably won't.
I mean, that's your choice, because I don't know. Wedding dresses are such a hard thing to decide what to do with after you're done with it.
It's hard for me to if I were to sell it, I would want to sell it at the same value, but I couldn't because it's already tailored to fit my body specifically. So like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So it would have to, I would have to find someone who is very similar body shape, or and they would have to get it tailored themselves. So I'd probably just hold on to it.
Yeah. I saw a cute idea. I mean, depending on how much you actually paid for your wedding dress, it's a cute idea that, mother converted her wedding dress into like a little play tent for her daughter. And that's a cute idea, but at the same time, I'm like, well, wouldn't your daughter at least want to try on your wedding dress when she gets engaged?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to like, I'm trying to hold on to that hope a little bit. And I'm also going to see, I feel like maybe in the future, I might find some use for it in another way. But I mean, because it's just very extravagant, not something that I could like wear out or wear again. You know what I mean?
You can't wear a big ball gown with a fucking 7-foot long train out and about.
Not really. I know that train was long as hell. Anyway.
Showed it to David's mom, who's a wedding coordinator. And she's like, I don't think I've ever seen a train like that.
Well, damn, bitch. I tried on dresses with longer trains. The fuck?
You got married in a very extravagant Catholic church, so anything less would have been tacky.
Yes. Yes. But I liked the dress.
Beautiful wedding dress. You look beautiful.
Thanks, Sam.
I think you're coming up on the 1-year anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that fucking insane? It's next month. It's literally like 3 weeks. Yeah.
Since the first year anniversary is the paper anniversary, just by Luca Ream of like hammer mill paper.
I should
steal it from the supply room.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for reminding me about that. Also, guess what today was last year? It was the bridal shower.
That was fun.
Cool. Yeah.
I don't mean that sarcastically. A lot of it was fun, but while you were opening presents, everything just felt kind of awkward.
Yeah, I felt that way.
I can't imagine what it felt like for you.
It was like an awkward thing because stares at you and then you try to engage with everybody and like go faster because you think they're bored, you know what I mean? So it's just a very, everything else was cool though. It was fun
time. I think my favorite thing about that was with how Bed Bath & Beyond does their dishware sets, how everything is like wrapped individually as one unit rather than a box of plates, a box of cups. You just kept opening it and it was the same fucking dishware.
Nine fucking boxes of the same goddamn dishes and a cup. And I'm like, well, thanks. And a bowl, too. So I'm like, another one. Thank you. I see you're trying to complete the set.
I was watching that. I'm like, Bed Bath & Beyond did not think about this for brides who open these at bridal parties.
Because what if I just want like one plate? Like, what am I supposed to do? Buy the whole thing? Like, fuck, no.
Anyway, it was a great bridal shower.
Thank you. I'm glad that you were there. I'm glad that you had fun. Thank you for coming up.
Yeah. Eventually, you'll get to come down here for me.
I cannot wait.
Fall in love with this area, and then you and Luke have the same argument that David and I had about Pennsylvania.
No, because like David will get together with Luke and he'll be like, hey man, like what do you think about like the real estate down here? And they'll get to talking and then Dave will be like, well, I really like Cranberry. And then we can be like, well, I really like Radford and Christiansburg and wherever, Blacksburg, wherever the fuck you live, wherever you're getting married. Roanoke, I don't fucking know. Every time I ask where you live, I get a different answer and I really don't know where you live.
Well, the easiest thing for me to say to people is I live near Virginia Tech, which is Blacksburg. And it's true. I'm like 15 miles away from that. My school had to go on lockdown during the Virginia Tech shooting. We were so close.
That's scary.
But I live in Radford. Just people fucking forget Radford University exists, even though we're right next to Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Anyway, you want to go through the end notes?
Yes, I'm ready to go through the end notes because fuck this movie. All right. Well, Real Horror Show was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is directed by Sam Odie. In this episode, we learned that
don't sleep on your baby.
Yeah, yes. And you should definitely try to like go through your script a couple times before you finalize it and make it a movie. Yeah.
You know, it's okay to hear what a contractor's quote is before going off on him because you should shop around for contract work.
Yeah, seriously, what the fuck? As if they like didn't have any money. Like they were like randomly loaded. Okay. Let's see. Like what you hear? You can find Real Horror Show on Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Store, Stitcher, Podcoin, and iTunes. Really, really like what you hear. Follow us on Twitter at horrorshow_pod or search for Real Horror Show on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Real Horror Show. Like our page and share our stuff. We also have a website that all of our written reviews and podcasts can be found, realhorrorshow.com. Want to interact with us? Want to make sure we're real humans and not space vampires? Comment on our website or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Want to argue with us about something or think you have a really great horror movie review that you're dying to share with two random strangers from the internet? Submissions are open for movie reviews. Check out the submit page on our website and follow the rubric before sending us anything. If it's not done according to the rubric, it will be disregarded. Sorry, not sorry. We post written reviews. I'm just not going to fucking say that part right now. Like, I'm writing something. It'll be done soon. Whatever.
I'm going to write a thought piece about Judy Blooms Forever. It won't go on Real Horror Show, but I'll send it to, I don't know, Thought Catalog.
Yeah, Thought Catalog. We love horror, and if you're listening, you do too. Please help us keep our project going via by visiting our support page on our website, where you can make a one-time donation via PayPal. We also have an Amazon wish list if you feel like buying us something tangible will help convey your love more than a monetary donation would. Also, buy us a coffee. It's a button you can click that will pay us the amount you would need to buy a coffee. A little bit goes a long way. Submissions are open for our yearly anthology called The October Monologues. Check out the submission guidelines on our website and send us your creepy shit. Any other pertinent news? New.
I think so.
Can't be anything. Well, our outro song is called Creepy Doll by Jonathan Coulton. Thank you, fuck off, and have a swell evening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.